The question often arises in the description of the factors of the first jhana. What is this directed thought and evaluation? Actually, it's something we're doing all the time. As the Buddha said, before you break into speech, you have to engage in directed thought and evaluation. You direct your thoughts to a topic, and then you evaluate what you want to say, what you think about it, what questions you want to ask and answer. So you're already doing it. The question then is, how does this apply to the practice of meditation? This is where we get into another teaching, what the Buddha calls commitment and reflection. You commit to doing something well, and then you reflect on the results. This is the principle he taught to Rahula from the very beginning. Before you do anything, ask yourself about the intention motivating this action. Do you anticipate any harm? You take responsibility for the action. You are doing it. What do you expect the results to be? If you expect any harm, you don't do it. If you don't expect any harm, okay, that level of reflection has let it pass, then you actually do it. While you're doing it, you reflect again while you're doing it. You don't wait till the end. Because sometimes the results will come out right away. So if you are harming somebody, yourself or anybody else, you stop. If you don't see any harm, you continue until the end. And then when it's done, you reflect on the long-term consequences. This action that I did it harm anybody? If the answer is yes, then you have some shame over what you did wrong. Shame in the healthy sense of wanting to look good in the eyes of the wise. And then you go talk it over with someone you trust. That shame doesn't prevent you from revealing the action to someone you trust, whose knowledge about the path is better than yours. If you don't see that you caused any harm, enjoy that fact and you continue training. Very basic principle, how to learn from your actions. Well, that's what you're doing with the directed thought and evaluation. You're committing yourself to being with the breath. You choose the topic. That's the directed thought. And then you evaluate how you're going. And this embodies a couple of principles from establishing a mindfulness. There is a sutta in the canon that talks about how the establishing of mindfulness is basically equivalent to the practice of the first jhana. So in the establishing of mindfulness, you're keeping track of one object. That would be the singleness of preoccupation in the practice of jhana. And they're ardent, alert, and mindful. The mindful here would be related to the directed thought, as you remember to keep coming back to the breath. And then the alertness and the ardency, that's the work of evaluation. You watch what you're doing, and you want to do it well. And if you're not doing well, you're trying to figure out what's going wrong. Is there something wrong with the breath? Is something wrong with your mind? With the breath, you can change the rhythm, you can change the depth. Make it fast, slow, heavy, light. Think of the whole body breathing in, the whole body breathing out, every little cell breathing in, breathing out. Lots of different perceptions you can try. See what way your breathing helps get the mind to settle down. Because you are working toward pleasure and rapture, or pleasure and refreshment. But those aren't things you do directly. You have to create the causes. And then the pleasure and the refreshment come. That means you want to breathe in a way that is pleasant, refreshing. Energizing when you need energy, relaxing when you need to be relaxed. So you watch what you're doing, and then you evaluate. Try to think of ways of improving things for the breath. Then you turn around and look at the mind. It's not settling in. Why? Here you evaluate what's going wrong with the mind, what defilements are getting in the way, and you clear them out using whatever techniques you found have worked for you. And use your imagination to see what will work to get rid of a particular defilement. When the John Lee talks about directed thought and evaluation, he points out how singleness of preoccupation, or singleness of mind, and then directed thought, those are the concentration element. Evaluation is the discernment element. Remember, this is active discernment. trying to figure out what works. In the same way that ardency is the discernment element in the practice of establishing mindfulness. You're ardent and you're alert. That's what makes it discerning. Because this is a quality that you're going to be continuing to use throughout the practice of concentration. Once the mind is settled down, that sutta that equates the establishing of mindfulness with the first jhana says the next step is to remain focused on, say, the body in and of itself, i.e. the breath, but do not think any thoughts around the body. In other words, you're just there with the sensation of how the body feels from within and the perception that holds you there. You don't have to do any directive thought, you don't have to do any evaluation, you don't have to talk to yourself about this more than just breath, breath, breath. And that steadiness then continues and gets deeper as you go through deeper stages of concentration. But there will come times, as the Buddha said, when you want to reflect. He doesn't use the word evaluation here, though. Perhaps because he wants to make the point that these moments of reflection are not inherent in the practice of jhana. Jhana provides the basis, provides the activity that you're going to analyze, at the same time that provides the steadiness and stillness that allows you to see. He uses different verbs, but it's the same sort of process. You reflect on what you're doing. As you get better and better, you begin to get more precise, more subtle in how you judge things. Where you begin to analyze things in terms of the aggregates, your state of concentration, form being the breath, feeling of pleasure, the perception that holds you in the breath, the intention that holds you in the breath, that's fabrication, and awareness of these things. These two are aggregates. You can start applying the different perceptions that point out the drawbacks of the aggregates. You've got, of course, the allure of the aggregates here in the state of concentration, sense of ease and well-being that they provide. But you see, this too has its drawbacks. You begin to try to notice, when does the level of stress go up? When does it go down? What did you do? So again, commitment and reflection, that same principle he taught to Rahula, but now it's getting more and more subtle. And it is a kind of evaluation, but as I said, it's not integral to the practice of concentration. You can practice concentration without doing this kind of reflection, but if you want to get the best results out of it and make it part of the Noble Eightfold Path, you do the reflection too, when the concentration is solid. There's this constant pattern of commitment and reflection. Starts from the very beginning of the practice and will carry you all the way through. And the direct of thought and evaluation are an important part of that. And John Lee calls this concentration work. These are the parts that have to really do the work in getting the mind settled down. The sense of ease or pleasure, refreshment or rapture. Those are results. Those are the rewards of your work. As he points out, the more refined your concentration work, the better the results are going to be. It's like sifting sand when you make clay tiles. The finer the sand, the better the tiles will be. Or sifting flour to make sweets. The finer the flour, the more refined the sweet will be. So the more refined your directed thought and evaluation, the better the results in your concentration are going to be. So focus on these is what you have to do. As you get them focused on one object, then you're really settled in. And to whatever extent you need to continue doing directed thought and evaluation in order to maintain that sense of singleness, keep it up. Don't be too quick to drop these things. I know all too many people who want to move on. They've read that the next stage is to go beyond pleasure and rapture, so how we develop equanimity. They start doing an analysis in terms of the three characteristics or whatever to develop a sense of not really caring about the pleasure anymore. But the pleasure is there for a purpose. The rapture is there for a purpose. It feeds you. These things energize you. Because the mind, if it doesn't get to feed on pleasure in this way, it's going to go for pleasures in other ways. So allow these things to do their work in the body, to do their work in the mind, as long as you need them, as long as you feel nourished by them, keep them up. There will come a point, as when you're eating a meal, when you're full. You don't need to keep on feeding then. Learn to recognize that point. Then you're going to be ready to move on. Otherwise, you say, I've taken one bite of food. I want to move on to the dessert. Take one bite of the dessert. You don't get nourished that way. You don't stay strong. You eat your fill. Then you let these things go. So have a sense of what's appropriate and what you need to do to get the mind to settle down. It's all contained in those three factors of the path: right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. The right effort gets included in the right mindfulness in the factor of ardency. And the right mindfulness gets included in the factors of singleness of preoccupation, direct thought, and evaluation. As you move the mind into greater and greater stillness. To have a clear sense of what you have to do and the best way to reflect so that you get the best results. As you get better and better sense of both of these things, that's how the path progresses.